Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia. Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the company, the technologies, the best practices, and of course, the critical issues of the day. Now, here's your host, Scott Luton.
Hey, thanks, Stone. Pleasure to be back, continuing on with our Supply Chain City series, where we're spotlighting the supply chain community here in the metro Atlanta area. We're going to be speaking with two leaders and organizations that are doing big things in supply chain. We'll introduce our guests in just a minute. But first, let's say good morning to my talented co-host, Ben Harris, Director of the Supply Chain Ecosystem Expansion, Metro Atlanta Chamber. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Glad to have you back, Ben. Will Haraway, founder and lead evangelist with Backbeat Marketing. Good morning, Will.
Hello, Scott.
Glad to have you back. So we're looking forward to hearing from you both in just a minute on some of the top things known in supply chain now. But first, let's welcome today's featured guests. Good morning, Kathy Fulton, Executive Director with the American Logistics Aid Network.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. Nice to meet you. And your ears may have been burning for a few months here. Glad to have you in the studio. Chuck Easley. Good morning. Chuck is the a supply chain consultant and adjunct professor at the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute. Hey, Chuck.
Hello. How are you doing? Good to be here.
Glad you're a repeat guest.
It's true. I'm a semi-rookie.
So your appearance check didn't bounce, which is good.
It went through just smooth.
All right. Well, we've got two great conversations teed up with both Kathy and Chuck. Both of them are very special leaders within the supply chain community, and glad they are here. But as with every show, Will and Ben, we're going to present some of the top things known in supply chain now, and we have no less than six items to work through over the next few minutes. Lots of things happen in the supply chain space. So Ben, we're going to lead off. We have a new headquarters in Atlanta. Tell us more.
We sure do, actually. Florida Core was actually already here, oddly enough. So Florida Core actually will create 500 jobs over 5 years in Cobb County in the expansion and relocation of its headquarters. So really exciting news. They actually have 95 stores in 26 states. And actually a 1.4 million square foot DC in Savannah. So heavily leveraged here in Supply Chain City. So we're very happy that they've decided to keep Atlanta as their home. They were actually founded here about 20 years ago, roughly. So they could have gone anywhere else, could have relocated many other places, but they are staying right here in the Supply Chain City. So very happy to hear that.
Latest big win for the supply chain capital. Great to hear. And speaking of expansion, so what's this news we're hearing about automotive manufacturing in North America?
There's a lot going on. So with the new USMCA stuff that's going on that replaced NAFTA, basically, what is required now is that a certain percentage of auto parts have to be within an automobile and have to be sourced from the U.S. now. So before, you know, with what was going on with NAFTA and a lot of what was going on with the tariffs, everybody thought that we thought we might see automakers go elsewhere because of that issue. And then when we're talking about automakers, we're talking about foreign automakers.
Right.
But now, I think with the new regulations, you'll have to see them shift their supply chains. They might actually expand manufacturing here in the U.S. So really interesting to see what's going to happen with that. I'm glad that they did something to enact and change in what was going on with the tariffs. So at least this will at least counteract some of the stuff that's going on with the tariffs. But, of course, steel and such, we'll still see some disruption from that. But I think that'll definitely go a long way in keeping some of our foreign automakers here. So we'll definitely wait and see. But that's definitely big news.
Yep, and the automotive industry obviously is very important to this across the Southeast.
Humongous.
Here in Georgia. Yeah. We've got Kia's Stuart Countess that's going to be speaking at a joint Apex ASQ event in November. We're looking forward to it. And of course, we all are familiar with the huge impact Kia has made throughout the region. So look forward to a lot more of that. All right. So speaking of automotive manufacturing, we know how big automation is in the modern day automotive plant, but that doesn't necessarily mean less jobs. Right, Ben?
This is true. So Boxed, who's actually an online retailer, think of Costco online, if you will, for e-commerce. They actually just implemented some automation in their New Jersey DC, and it's not displaced any labor at the facility. Instead, the automation has actually made work easier and life better for their employees. So when we talk about what, you know, labor being displaced by this new paradigm with Industry 4.0 and stuff, it's not necessarily that we're going to lose jobs. It's just the retraining of the workforce. So now they've gone to more of a zone picking model. It's much easier on their employees, and they're actually, not only have they retained the employees, they've actually given two raises to their employees there at the facility since. So okay. Even in New Jersey, it's a little expensive to operate up there, but and they're actually seeing ROI in 2 to 5 years from that automation. So I think this is going to be the trend still, but I think it's a great illustration that, you know, we're seeing jobs change, but not necessarily displaced. So just something to keep in mind.
Yeah. Great point. Not displacement, not replacement, but if done right, it's enhancement.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so also on the innovation front, we've got an e-commerce company based right here in Atlanta that was recently recognized for its innovation and growth. Tell us more about that, Ben.
Yeah, Ally Commerce, actually a fairly new scaling company out there. Jeff Cashman, their new CEO, actually a former friend from Manhattan Associates and actually part of the Supply Chain Leadership Council at the Metro Atlanta Chamber. So congrats to Jeff on his appointment there as CEO. But they're actually helping brand manufacturers when it comes to their e-commerce operations and actually optimizing those and actually work with Amazon, but also compete with Amazon at the same time, depending on what your business model is. So very exciting company here. They were just recognized as one of our backed by ATL companies.
Okay.
Hashtag backed by ATL.
All right.
As if we need another hashtag here.
Another hashtag.
I know.
We love our hashtags.
We do.
Exactly. So, our backed by ATL program is we actually came out with our first cohort last year of companies where basically the Metro Atlanta Chamber goes out and we engage the community to try to throw as many resources as possible to these companies. Mm. We looked at the market and we thought, you know, we were out there helping scaling companies. There were a lot of resources to help those companies when we talked about startups and so forth. And there were a lot of great resources for established companies here in Atlanta. We've got still the number three market for Fortune 500 and Fortune 1000 companies here. So, but we didn't have anything to address the mid-market. And how do we, you know, basically grow, attract, and retain these companies? So this is the Metro Atlanta Chamber's biggest effort on, you know, keeping these companies here. And again, throwing as many resources as possible and keeping them here in the market. We want to see them grow here. It's a lot easier to keep a company here and keep them happy and growing as opposed to attracting those big headquarters kind of projects. So it's a really exciting initiative, you know, and just to kind of paint a picture of the examples of what kind of help we can offer. It's from a capital standpoint, whether it's getting these companies introduced to certain investors, both in market and out of market. It's also showcasing what these companies do on a larger scale and also just making connections to these companies as well, that they've got to have beta customers also. So we do a lot of introductions to those companies as well. So if you want to know more information about that, shoot me an email, or Vicky Thomas has actually been instrumental in helping us with that here at the Chamber. So really exciting program. Very happy to have Ally Commerce here in Atlanta.
Can we get t-shirts backed by ATL?
Oh, you know, I think we can.
That sounds like
I think we got some long sleeves, actually, just in time for
just
fall.
Just in time for this morning.
Yeah.
Well, and Ben, to reach out to you or Vicky, what's Chamber's website?
Yeah, so it's just www.metroatlantachamber.com.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, Supply Chain Now Radio's Chris Barnes has confirmed Jeff Cashman as a guest on the show in 2 weeks, I believe, on October 26th. So we'll confirm that down the road, but I'm pretty sure they hit our calendar. So good to hear about Ally Commerce and all the neat things that Chamber's doing to make not just supply chain happen, but business happen. All right, so Will Haraway, not just a supply chain rock and roll star, but a actual rock and roll star who's playing tonight in Alpharetta, right, Will?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What festival is that?
That is the Wire and Wood Festival.
And you're on the stage at 7 p.m.
7
tonight,
o'clock,
right?
Yep. And Sundogs is my band.
And the Sundogs.
The Sundogs. And, you know, I'm a little bit slow, but, you know, Will obviously has been a part of the show since day one, and Backbeat Marketing is his firm. I had no idea as a non-musician what that meant. Evidently, the backbeat is part of the bass and...
No, it's the rhythm section.
The rhythm section.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I'm
That's
still
right.
getting it wrong.
Yeah.
And so you're the bass player in the Sundogs.
Yeah, although I'm playing guitar tonight, so that completely ruins your metaphor, but that's okay. That's also the backbeat. That's also the backbeat. All about the rhythm.
Okay, I learned something by the hour. All right, here we go. So sticking with taking a step away from rock and roll and more on supply chain.
Yeah.
So speaking of growth, that was certainly some of the common themes and all of Ben's points there. Tell us some key takeaways from the APIX 2018 conference.
Yeah, well, you know, there were two of the bigger supply chain shows that go on in the industry just last week. You know, CSCMP, which I believe, Ben, you attended, right?
Yep. Their annual Edge Conference. So did Kathy as well.
I was there.
Up in Opryland. Yeah. Did you guys go to the Opry while you were there?
I did not make it over there. I did go downtown for one night. Had a good time.
Yeah.
But I was up, you know, bright and early the next morning.
Were there any bachelorette parties going on?
You know, it was few and far between on a Monday night.
Sure. Hey,
I have to say.
I wouldn't put it past anybody up in Nashville these days. That's the capital of.
Did you finish up with some Hattie B's?
No, I didn't make it.
But
now,
it.
You can get that here in Atlanta now. Actually.
That's true. That's right.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So the big takeaway from the show, and I'm going to put this back a little bit on you, Scott, because I'm interested, but APIX, this is the last year that it's going to be called the conference, that is, APIX as a conference. They've changed it to ASCM, and next year it'll be ASCM 2019, and that stands for the Association for Supply Chain Management. And it sounds like it's not a complete rebranding, but it is a bit of a new offshoot. So what does that mean for – I'll put it back on you, Scott. What does that mean for APIX Atlanta?
Yeah, a lot more information is to come, right? So we found out about this on Saturday of the kind of the volunteer leadership session, and we're still digesting all the change.
Right.
But I think for APIX members, it's a good thing. It's going to broaden the scope of offerings that APIX brings to the table, that now the Association for Supply Chain Management brings to the table. It's going to have more offerings that may resonate more with the C-suite, right? Because supply chain now has a table at the seat unlike never before. And one other, I think, big takeaway for me related to this change is, you know, the body knowledge is, you know, so important to the APIX community. However, it can be arguably a little bit stagnant, right? It's not changing by the hour like supply chain is. So part of this whole effort is going to really make the ASCM really be on the cutting edge, not to just follow industry and be an advocate for the supply chain industry, but also lead where
right.
we're headed. So I think it's exciting, and I look forward, many of you, to seeing kind of how everything else sorts out.
Yeah, and the way that he framed it, and by he, I mean the CEO, Abe Eshkenazi. Eshkenazi, thank you so much. So Abe, I'll call him Abe. So the way he reframed it is also something that you talk about and that we talk about at our APIX executive board meetings and you know, some of the other logistics meetings that we have, is that he's rebranded it to make it so that he wants everybody as young as being a kindergartner to understand what supply chain is.
Yep.
And that's something that we do here in town with the Supply Chain 101, because it's once you see it, it makes so much sense, you
yep.
know? And so the way he rebranded it, I thought it was very interesting to start at that level, but also all the way up to the C-suite. The whole plan for the way that they want ASCM to be represented is that now supply chain professionals can earn more of a seat in the C-suite.
That's right.
You know, with
yep.
a more in, because those types of executives now have a more integrated view of the supply chain, and that's, you know, things we talk about all the time. You know, strategically linked sales.
Yep.
You know, with marketing, with operations, with, you know, and that creates more of what they were calling supply chain advocates.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I like that.
Will mentioned the APIX Executive Advisory Board, where we appreciate Will and Ben and Tim Brown with the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute and probably about 20 other senior executives that really come together to help guide what the chapter's doing locally within the APIX community and the supply chain community. And Supply Chain 101 is one of those things we're doing to plant seeds of awareness with elementary kid students. And I think, Will, you're going to be out with
yep.
Newton County.
Yeah, I'll come to Newton County. Yeah,
at Livingston Elementary School coming up here in the next few weeks. But
yeah.
So APIX, a lot of stuff going on. It's an exciting time to be an APIX member, and it's certainly an exciting time to be in supply chain. But moving on to your next topic, the cannabis industry continues to grow like a weed. So how is it tackling supply chain?
Waka, waka, waka.
I love that you kept that under your hat. In the pre-meeting, I asked how he was going to segue to it, and that's beautiful. Thank you.
All I got is dad jokes. So.
That's a good dad joke.
So how is, in the burgeoning industry, how is it tackled?
Well, besides the provocative nature of, the marijuana industry or whatever, it's a growing industry that is, continuing to evolve. And just this week, a retailer called MedMen Enterprises, medical marijuana, right? So they named an Apple and a Walmart, two different people
executives, right?
Yes, as executives with their company. And that is to continue a really ambitious distribution plan, because they want to get product into the states as they legalize marijuana.
Yep.
So they're very involved, and the new COO with that extensive experience, mainstream experience, is going to be leading that effort. Just in California, the distributors now connect the cultivators or the growers, whatever, with retail outlets, and so he's connecting those dots, as well as connecting with the legislation as it happens. So. Mm. It's very interesting just to see the supply chain grow, Scott,
yes.
In all sorts of different
directions.
Industries.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you. That kind of concludes some of the top things to know in supply chain now. Always a pleasure with Ben Harris and Will Haraway to walk through that. And so as we shift gears to our first guest, of course, it's against the backdrop of Hurricanes Michael and Florence. Lots of help needed. It's been really neat to see different aspects of the supply chain community getting involved to help make relief happen and happen faster. On that note, an Atlanta-based company called Airbus Aerial, Ben.
Jesse Coleman over there, CEO. Yep.
Drone company. They are working around the clock with FEMA to help document the damage down there on the Florida Panhandle. So neat to see that. Take root and really all the innovation we see that makes, corporate America happen, applying it to, those communities that really need it from a disaster relief standpoint. And on that note, to do that, you got to have leaders that are willing to put things in headlocks and make things happen. And so our first guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Kathy Fulton, Executive Director with the American Logistics Aid Network. Good morning again, Kathy.
Good morning. I'm glad that you had that segue because I wasn't sure how I was going to follow the dad joke about weed, really.
The weed supply.
So, yeah, there we go. So, we mentioned earlier, Kathy's ears probably have been burning. Richard Sharp turned us on to Alan a while back, and we have been talking about Alan on these shows, especially in light of what we've seen over the last couple of years. First off, Kathy, for those that may not know, talk to us about who Alan is and what you do.
Sure. So Alan, American Logistics Aid Network, is an industry-formed organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We came out of really the catastrophic activity from Hurricane Katrina and the logistics and supply chain failures that we saw along the Gulf Coast 13 years ago now. A group of organizations got together at a supply chain conference, a bunch of businesses. Richard was there. He was one of our very first, and he still serves on our board. And we looked at it and said, we do this every day. Literally, we have global supply chains. We move commodities around the world day in and day out. Why can't we get food to the Superdome? Mm. And so since that time, we've participated in every major disaster that's happened and some minor ones too. Mm. But really just applying the expertise of supply chain professionals to support humanitarian response.
Yep. We're big believers that you give from what you have to give.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of what I hear there is, we may not be able to write big checks. We may not be able to send a fleet of tractor trailers, but,
right.
We give our expertise and help with the planning, the scheduling, the marshaling of resources, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I can give you a great example of something just really small, but there was an organization, a nonprofit, that needed just a place to park a couple of pallets of inflatable boats that they were going to use for their response to Hurricane Florence. They needed to put the pallets, and they had about six trailers worth of tools. Mm. and you know, an organization just kind of on the outskirts of where the storm was going to go through in Charlotte, North Carolina, said, yeah, bring it in. We're not going to charge you to do this because two pallets, you know, the handling on that is minimal, and we've got trailer, we've got space on our yard, just bring it. So that minimal contribution, you know, very small amount of labor and some space that didn't cost them anything anyway, turned into this huge response that's still ongoing with houses being cleaned up, you know, hundreds of families who are benefiting because of that one small contribution.
Wow.
So I love the integration of supply chain logistics concepts to really have that impact, you know, beyond just the initial touch.
Yep. Practical. Very practical.
Yeah, very love practical.
So you know, when we scheduled it here to be on the show today, y'all's response was, hey, weather permitting, right?
Yeah.
Really. And we had no idea, you know, especially how quickly Hurricane Michael came about. I think it was 3 or 4 days from depression to Category 4 and landfall. Talk about that, predictable, easy for y'all to say, you know, about hurricane season and just the curveball effect it has, ripple effect it has on supply chain, but the business community, communities in general.
Yeah. So, we are very much into our Hurricane Michael response, this morning, mm-hmm. you know, started pretty early with dealing with that, but, being here is important to get the word out about how people can help. But it's not just the nonprofit community that's out there responding. Like you said, Scott, it's businesses who are affected. Mm-hmm. Now, we're pretty fortunate in that where the storm came in, you know, devastating to the people in the communities, but there's not a lot of supply chain activity mm-hmm. going on in that area. Not a lot of big manufacturing or businesses. I-10 was disrupted. I think I-10 is open again. But where it came in, you know, not terrible. Completely different story for North Carolina,
right,
where you have a lot of agricultural manufacturing, you know, so all of those things have an impact on the businesses who are operating in that area. But it's also the people's the people who are working in those businesses who are affected. So it's good business. It makes sense for businesses to get involved in response activities, participating not just with the nonprofit community, but also alongside the emergency management community.
So you mentioned the early day this morning, probably mm-hmm. the last few days have been very similar. Talk to us about what those last few days have looked like.
Yeah. So we work with the nonprofit communities to help them find the pro bono logistics services. We also work with businesses who need information. So these requests for information will be coming in, you know, what roads are open? You know, everything from that to how do I get resources or information from FEMA? How do I work for FEMA? Our activities are intaking those requests from the business community, from the nonprofit community, from the emergency management community, and then relaying them out to whatever other constituent can help. So, you know, we kind of serve as, I don't like the word clearinghouse or marketplace,
mm-hmm. right.
but we're helping to facilitate information flow and resource flow.
Right. And, you know, it's so sorely needed. There might be a stigma with some of those terms,
sure.
and kind of the middle person, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, you're brokering critical information,
yeah.
right? You're preventing waste, which we'll talk about in a second. I mean, it's such a huge need,
sure.
right? Especially in these times where. Yeah.
So I have a friend who says that my entire job is as party planner, but for your worst day, right?
So
right. we're understanding what it's going to take to mount that response and bringing together all of the people. So, you know, Will's bringing the music, obviously, but
sure.
Ben's got the pizza and Chuck, maybe you've got the snacks and or the beer or something. I don't know.
I can get in where I fit in.
We are planning quite a party. Well, kidding aside.
It's serious. I mean, it's serious. It is serious business, but those resources, you know, everyone has a different asset or skill that they can bring to the table.
That's right. And so not only Hurricane Michael, but you're still actively working Hurricane Florence, and y'all might still be working other
right
scenarios.
We're still working Hurricane Maria and Hurricane
wow.
Harvey from last fall, and it's just because disaster, there's the response phase, and that's what you see on television, and the news cameras are there. But think about what happens to those individuals who have been affected by that storm after people, you know, after the news cameras are gone.
Right.
They've got to clean up. They've got to rebuild. They have to restart the economic base in the community.
Yep.
There are opportunities for organizations, businesses to get involved, you know, for a long time after. Even just the nonprofits who are doing rebuilding. There's still rebuilding activities happening in New Orleans post-Katrina. And this is 13 years ago. So nonprofits, you know, need help, not just right at the beginning, but for a long time.
Yeah, you make a great point because, you know, we're so trained to follow where the news cameras are. And I'll tell you, as someone that cares and someone that was sat down to prep for this interview, until you said Harvey and even Maria, I didn't remember those storm names.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's probably a pretty good indication of the American public. You know, we were following news stories. So it's great to hear that we got folks that don't forget, that are still bringing resources, still making it happen, still serving the folks that unfortunately aren't being served once the cameras leave town.
That's right.
So we mentioned waste earlier, and 80% of disaster relief costs go to logistics, yet half of that goes to waste. Tell us more about that.
Sure. And I don't mean the malicious, intentional waste.
Right.
People are not lining their pockets to do this. But
we're talking waste in
debris.
Muda. We're talking Muda.
Yeah.
Really, right?
Tell me what MUDA means.
MUDA, non-value activity, emotion waste.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so my lean's been a long time ago for me. It's with speed, with the response to and the need to get things there quickly. Coordination doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. Coordination, collaboration, you know, even the communications breakdown. So a lot of individual actors come into play. They're doing stuff and may not realize that a partner agency is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Perfect example this morning, a request for someone who can support feeding operations. Well, you know, who defined the request, number one, but also what organizations have you already asked about this? Because there are organizations that specialize in those feeding operations, not just from supplying the food. You know, you think about the big food, you know, producers and distributors, but nonprofit organizations that specialize in this. So how do you, our goal really is to reduce that waste by enabling the collaboration and the coordination of those activities. Supply chain professionals, you know, especially those of us who, I come out of the 3PL industry, I'm used to seeing, businesses, you know, come together around a goal. Mm. And so supply chains are not just supply chains. It's not linear. Supply networks and resources are coming in from all over the place. So I think as supply chain professionals, we're much better positioned to think about, things when, it's not steady state. Mm. You know, we can be flexible and agile and adaptable, more so than people from other, backgrounds.
Kathy, may I make one quick comment, Scott?
No.
Kathy,
yes, Ben.
Speaking of coordination, is there like a nerve center or a piece of technology that you guys use to help that coordination, or how does that kind of work?
Yeah, so we use multiple pieces of technology to kind of support that. You know, a CRM is kind of the basis for all of that. There at one time was a technology that the industry had adopted, the nonprofit and emergency management community had adopted. That's since gone away. The need for that type of resource is immense, and there are probably 7 or 8 organizations who are looking at how to do that. But like anything, you know, like any good supply chain tool, it's complex. And so dealing with that in a way where it's not getting a lot of funding, it's not getting a lot of attention to it, except when we're dealing with a disaster.
Yeah, it sounds like enterprise resource planning kind of, you know, but it's a different, you know, opportunity as opposed to a manufacturing environment.
So it's really the integration of an ERP and supply chain risk management and CSR. Mm. So all of those things have to flow in together. But the bill of materials changes,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And your customer changes. So how do you design something where you can deal with the one-offs? It's not just a simple flow.
Yep. So I wish we had 3 hours today at sure. a minimum to spend about this stuff. But to our audience, really want you to listen up here because we're about to walk into with Kathy how you can help. And as someone that we're all probably pretty practical people in this room. I know I am. I gave my wife an umbrella for Valentine's Day one year. She has not let me forget about that.
Hey, I got a shot back for Valentine's Day one year.
Definitely it's, worse. Definitely
it
worse.
It was red. Yeah. It was red.
Oh,
it was
definitely worse. You gave it to me once.
Stay away from cleaning and kitchen equipment.
You got it.
That's right.
You got it.
But again, to our audience, we're about to tackle how you can help. So, Kathy, walk us through. You're a big advocate of and been very vocal about urging businesses not to sponsor collection drives.
Right.
So give us some tips how we can help instead.
Yeah. So let me define collection drive just very briefly. And that's where someone says, hey, we've got a trailer in our parking lot. Bring all of your water and your food because we're going to drive it down to wherever.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by collection drive. And that's great, and it's a tangible way to get involved and to help people, but it's inefficient. Mm. So I talked about that waste. What's your distribution plan? Do you even have a place to park your trailer? Can you even get in? Mm. So the roads are closed. And the focus right now on those areas that have been affected is getting in the supply chain that we're already operating
yeah.
in that area. So you don't want to take up capacity from something that is critical, right? So there are grocery stores that are still open and operating. Let's get those replenished. Let's get the shelters and the big push of commodities in there
right.
to support people. So those one-offs, it's going to take you a week to collect it. The needs change during that week. So hydration is very critical today. In a week, the water may be back on. Mm. And so you're shipping in water, it's taking up warehouse space, it's taking up a truck, it's taking up volunteer labor time
yeah.
to manage all of that because they don't want to turn it away, right? The nonprofit doesn't want to say, we don't want this donation. So then they're taking time away from maybe in a week it's emotional and spiritual care that these people need. Mm. Maybe it's cleaning up their houses. Those needs change very rapidly throughout the course of a disaster. So instead, the nonprofit community says, send cash to an organization that you trust, that aligns with your corporate values, that even aligns with your corporate mission. We work with 150, 200 nonprofits. They do everything from pet sheltering to cleaning up people's houses, to running warehouses, to emotional and spiritual care. Anything that tugs at your heartstrings as a business or as an individual, you can find a nonprofit to support that.
And we should mention a couple of your biggest, Alan's biggest advocates, sponsors, fans. UPS Foundation's been great to a lot of your efforts.
Yes.
Saddle Creek Logistics, you mentioned, has been a partner for 20 years.
Yes.
And then you mentioned some of the associations that a lot of members get involved. IWLA, International Warehouse
Logistics Association.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. CSCMP, which great friends over there. Yeah. And of course, Apex Community.
Yep.
Big believers in what y'all do. So to learn more, alanaid.org, alanaid.org. And as you came in this morning, Kathy, I think you had three phones on, your laptop open, your chair in three meetings, plugged in. It probably started early. Can you rattle off a couple of top of the list current needs, priority needs right now?
Yeah. So, I mentioned the food mission. We don't have a lot of clarity on that yet, but we know that the logistics surrounding that food mission are going to be critical. So people who have transportation or warehousing, the Panhandle, the Big Bend area of Florida is not known for having a lot of warehouse space. It's just not what we do there. Mm-hmm. So if those assets and resources are available, then expertise. We host a daily coordination call for businesses. And our next one is 1 p.m. today.
Okay.
I'm happy to push along that information if needed. But that information on how your supply chains are doing right now. And the reason that's important is that helps shape the state and federal response. The more information they know, the less action they have to take, right? So we want those pre-existing supply chains moving. We don't want the replacement supply chain.
And how can businesses jump on that 1 p.m. meeting, the daily meetings?
Yeah, if they're interested, they can shoot us a note to our via our website or ops@alanaid.org, ops@alanaid.org. We'll get them connected. We'll get the information pushed out to them.
Great. Well, we're going to have y'all back on. We're going to be singing the praises of Alan and really, more importantly, spotlighting how businesses can help get involved with groups like Alan to serve those folks in need. Because there's, you know, I'm a big optimist, but we're probably just now uncovering all the damage and the need down there and hopefully getting back to normal sooner rather than later. But the need continues, and glad you could carve some time out to be with us here today, Kathy. So Kathy Fulton, the executive director with the American Logistics Aid Network. Thanks for making time.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
AlanAid.org. Okay, so one of the things that Kathy mentioned that's a critical need is expertise. And we're moving to our next guest, who is laughing at my Muda definition, I think, earlier. It's always a pleasure to have Chuck Easley, a great supply chain consultant and supply chain leader and adjunct professor at the Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. Good morning again, Chuck.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing great. So it's been a little while since you were on the show last time.
Yes.
I want to say probably about a year, maybe 8 months or so. Mm-hmm. You've had some big news since then. So please tell us.
We have a number of things that have happened. The initial program started with an effort between Georgia Tech and JP Morgan Chase. There was an extension that we received from JP Morgan Chase this summer.
And we're talking about the LEAP program.
Absolutely. Logistics, education, and do you know the last part?
Pathways.
Man gets a star. LEAP.
That's right.
It was started to really address an issue around workforce development in the community in the state of Georgia, focused on what opportunities there are in the high demand career initiative space. And so the initial program started in 2015 with some minds getting together, Georgia Tech and JP Morgan Chase, designing the program. We launched February 2016, and the grant ran out towards the end of 2017. There were some extensions to kind of bridge that gap into 2018, and then a formal extension was experienced this summer. And the cool thing about that is it allows us to take the program itself, where it had been originally focused on opportunity youth and veterans in the metropolitan Atlanta area, certain select counties, where the aim is to do two main things. One is to expand it to the state of Georgia.
Awesome.
And Southeast United States. And the second one is to reach a level of self-sustainability by having partnerships with employers as well as different other organizations that may be helping the organization move forward.
Big news. Mm-hmm. Huge news. Great to see. Great to see the grant get formally hit phase two, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So before we get into lessons learned, can you, at a very high level, you know, what is LEAP to someone that doesn't know what it is?
LEAP is, I would say, it does three things. Number one, it takes someone who may not have a lot of experience in supply chain, introduces them to it as a potential career that they would definitely enjoy, but also have a base of understanding such that then when they come into the workplace, the second thing that happens is the training should be shorter. They should be up to speed much quicker. The questions that they ask, they should be a much more viable candidate in the interview process. And then as far as adding value to the organization, typically what we find is the person experiences some kind of a promotion, typically much quicker than someone that just came in off the street without the training.
Okay. Awareness, competency training, and some advancement, some of the things
Absolutely.
That LEAP program provides. And huge news, what you said there, going from Metro Atlanta to statewide and potentially spilling over into the Southeast region.
Absolutely. Why
which
not?
Is great. Yeah.
I think it, when you think about how the supply chain network functions and you think about Savannah, you think about a partnership with Charleston, it makes a lot of sense. The other thing that we did do was initially there were four courses in the program. Supply chain management principles, which is an overall course that takes you from what I call concept to consumer.
Okay.
Then there was warehouse operations, transportation operations, and then customer service operations. Those were the initial courses that were developed. They were all online. JP Morgan Chase wanted to have low hurdles for people to get into them. They're sanctioned by the Board of Regents for the university system. And the link to Georgia Tech's professional education program. So you have a lot of thumbs up on why you'd want to do it.
Okay.
The other thing that we did, though, with the extension in terms of how we kind of go to the next level, we added four more courses. And so those courses are typically what would happen after that first entry type level course. And I think there's a delicate balance where someone who's completed one of the courses, while they may be pursuing what you might call a tier one or a tier two job, typically they would be a better candidate than someone that doesn't have that kind of experience. Mm. The next thing is what comes after that in the supply chain, right? So the other courses deal with things like inventory management, demand planning.
Okay.
So you can kind of visualize what happens relative to the supply chain and how those roles start to expand, all interrelated, but they have a different level of responsibility, a different vantage point or perspective on the supply chain.
Okay. Looking forward to this this enhanced LEAP program. I wasn't aware of the four additional courses and some of those topics. I mean, demand planning and inventory management, I mean, these are heart and soul issues for supply chain professionals.
Absolutely.
So should really prep these folks. So let's move into lessons learned. So throughout your time, you know, leading the LEAP program and through the initial phase and into the extensions, what are some key lessons you've learned?
I'd say the most significant three lessons were, number one, initially we took an approach where individuals could take the course at whatever pace they may want. It's online, self-paced. Yet the level of completion wasn't what we wanted. Doing a cohort model is much more effective. We developed basically two, three different types of cohorts. One is an internal cohort, which could be something like a STEM class at a high school that's going to meet fairly regularly. The teacher understands the curriculum as well and weaves it into the actual coursework. It could be a self-study project. It could be a section that you're actually covering, or it could be something that the team or the class takes on as a special project. The other thing that we notice is an external cohort can still happen. That can be something like an organization here in Atlanta that we partner with to do our first external cohort is Juma. You may be familiar with Juma. They actually are the organization that runs the concessions at SunTrust Park as well as for the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Coming out of California, the initial idea, they start off with Ben and Jerry's stores, but then move toward a model of running concessions where people who are sort of in the gap, if you will, are able to kind of reconstitute, reenter themselves in terms of understanding the workplace, workplace mores, getting a consistency, learning how to earn money, learning how to save money, as well as thinking about a career. So that group does the concessions. Mm-hmm. Additionally, they meet typically once a week. So we found that Craig and Marla, when they come in to meet, like that Friday before or something, that kind of is the time where they can come in, they can do things online, they can work together as a group, they can support each other. That works particularly well. Mm-hmm. As also. The third thing that you typically will find is as people are kind of moving through and thinking about the courses, some workplaces actually create what you might call an affinity group. Mm-hmm. You may have colleges that kind of create, they may not have a supply chain discipline, but they have an interest group.
Yep.
And so that can be another format that you can actually use.
Love it. And those affinity groups are very prevalent these days. Lots of veteran affinity groups.
Absolutely.
And corporations and whatnot. So love to get your take, being as close as you are to the next generation of supply chain practitioners. And of course, you're out and about across supply chain. What are some of your insights as it relates to supply chain workforce development? How can we protect and ensure that we've got a healthy pipeline of top talent coming in?
That's a great question. I guess I get to do my consultant hat,
yeah,
professor hat.
That's all right.
Well, it starts with supply chain 101, Scott, yeah, first of all.
Get it early.
Yeah. Get them early.
Get them going. I'd break it up into a couple categories. One, I would say, similar to supply chain 101, middle schools, high schools, at home, is to find a way to have people understand it. It's a played out term, mm-hmm, but you know, it's not your grandfather's distribution center anymore.
That's right.
And so, early in my career, you know, distribution professionals were referred to as box kickers.
That's right.
Or things, mm-hmm, like that.
Box,
right?
Movers, man.
And so, you know, it's a new day. They're profit generators. Mm-hmm. It's not a cost center. It's a profit generator. When you when the move went from more of a warehousing model to what we used to call a distribution model, which is we don't just hold it here, but we move it out at a certain pace based on demand or velocity, to going to getting it closer in the last mile, the last half mile, the last quarter mile, the last 100 feet, mm-hmm. you're getting close to the consumer. And when you have large scale organizations saying you order, not just only you could pick it up in store that same day, but we can get it to you within 2 hours, it's a profit generator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're also creating the expectation now, where when Absolutely. It was first rolled out, I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to do this because That's I right. can get this. Now it's, why can I not get That's this?
Right. The consumer gets the consumer gets spoiled, and they start thinking, you know what, this should be standard. Why isn't it standard? So I think one of the things that we've been challenged with is when you think about supply chain and getting the right mindset is helping those who are coming through understand how do you stretch the envelope? How do you not just kind of improve what already exists? You know, the old cow path thing, we're just going to pave the way that people always went. That kind of thinking, you need the critical thinking, but you also need creative thought.
Yep.
And so I think infusing that into the school system helps a lot. At the college level as well, there are all kind of new models. There's all kind of new theories, new software out there where you used to use a Excel spreadsheet and just.
And a protractor.
Put your thumb up and say, looks good to me. Close enough. More exactness. I think the other piece that can get missed though is the interpersonal skills. Mm. You still, when you get closer to the consumer, you actually are closer to the consumer. So you become more of a representative of the organization than when you may have been further away from the consumer.
Well, and that goes back to what Ben was saying with the automation. Just because you're automating doesn't mean that you're losing jobs. That's what that actually doing is creating an opportunity.
That's right. That's
because now you're that much closer to the customer that you should be able to leverage that and build a stronger relationship because now you understand their business a little bit better. You understand that demand and velocity that you're talking about. So you can be a supportive assistant to them.
Oh, very much so. And in many instances, you will find, I was talking with a gentleman earlier this week who's going through the course, and he's working in the food chain distribution. And he had talked about how and why he came into the supply chain part of the business. And he said because he kind of got tired of being the driver showing up and the food may not have been as fresh as it needed to be.
Right.
And the consumer gave it to him. And he said, I didn't load it. I didn't pick it. And they said, yeah, but you brought it. So to your point, well, when you get closer to the consumer, it can be a benefit because more quickly you can get the feedback. Did it go well? What may be something we need to improve upon?
Yeah.
And then also at some point, I think from how do you keep people jazzed and interested, give them the autonomy to start to fix some of those things. You see it in other industries, hotel, other industries where the closer you are to the consumer, you have some latitude to be able to fix it. And I think the other thing, I kind of get passionate about it from this standpoint, make it cool.
Make it cool.
You know, I mean, that's like you and I, Scott, we talked about with Supply Chain 101. Can we give...
I'm never in the same sentence with cool. So that's okay, then.
We'll bring it in.
I knew something was coming.
We'll bring in. But, you know, you can... You can make it like a school, like a home project. Take something home from what they learned in Supply Chain 101, show it to the parents or grandparents or what have you. But one of the things that I stumbled onto, didn't do it on purpose, but, you know, I'll take credit for it in terms of it worked, was going to talk to some middle school students and a couple of high schools and some high school classes, too, was trying to figure out a way to connect. And I'm always kind of big on that because sometimes even the teachers would ask me more questions than the students. And driving down the highway, there was a wreck, had to pull off, was trying to think of some props, anything, went into a convenience store and saw some trucks. And all of a sudden, my dad used to say, I usually have one good idea every 10 years, so I'll take that one. And I got in there and I was like, wow, there's something I could do with this. So just grabbed what I could see, a couple trucks, drove down. Got to the school, walked in, and I usually would describe, we help you get the right product to the right place at the right time and the right amount. And the kids nod, and everyone kind of nods and kind of, eh. So then I start saying things like, so, what if you're at the movies and they run out of popcorn? What if you go to a concert and they don't have any more t-shirts and you decide not to get the t-shirt when you went to your seat, you get it later? Or what if you're at a game and your group sends you to go get hot dogs and there's no more? So we kind of built the response that way. So what do you do about it? And I said, well, just think about all the things going on and how you can impact that. But more importantly, what does it look like when it happens? So I use the example of order today, pick up today, order today. You come home and it's there. And I looked around the room and I said, who has seen a transformer? And every hand's all in.
Are you talking about the electric transformer?
You mean Megatron? Yes. We're talking
Maximum
Megatron.
Prime, Bumblebee. I'm talking all of them. And so what happened was it just hit me. I just threw it up there because something hit me when I was dealing with the wreck on, I saw the truck pulled over and all that kind of stuff. And I just threw it out there and everyone kind of looked and all of a sudden they're leaning forward. And I said, what if you could go home every day after working with your favorite transformer? So I asked, who are your favorite ones? Maximus Prime, Bumblebee, whatever. And Bumblebee's naturally my favorite one. And so
a little Georgia Tech.
Just a little harmless, Prime in there. And so all of a sudden, they were interested. And I said, there are places in the supply chain, there are business opportunities, there are companies where you will work with something that looks like Bumblebee every single day. Mm. And I talked about how human and machine have to learn to work together. Some people give it a name so you can give some kind of connection with that particular robot. And then how you have to develop a rhythm because, if you don't duck when it moves, you could be in trouble. And so we went through that whole process and all of a sudden then they were like, well, so how do I get to work with
So now it's cool. Yeah, now it's cool. Cool. I got you.
Chuck, you weren't there with Alan Amling by any chance with UPS, were you?
Alan and I have talked about several things. We were doing some things on 3D printing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm very familiar. Great conceptual thinker. We were trying to partner on some things at Georgia Tech on doing a couple of thought leadership things. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with Alan.
And we talked about the cool factor with supply chain. And how do we...
Yeah, he and I talked. Yeah.
How do exactly. we inspire... Exactly. Yeah. That's what made me think of this, was how do we inspire that conversation and have that conversation with younger generations? And one of the things that kept coming up was, how do we make it cool? And how do we connect with younger generations? What kind of words do we use? So, you talk about the word manufacturing with younger generations and you get a bunch of blank stares. It's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Then you use the word create or control. Mm-hmm. And it's, we talk about supply chain orchestration and that thing. You use those two different words and it's all of a sudden, it's like the lights come on. And it's just a completely different conversation you have with young kids because they do. That's what they want to do is make and create things. That's what manufacturing is, though, in supply chain. So I think it's a wonderful point that we're talking about with making supply chain cool. I think we have to completely, reimagine how we define supply chain.
Yeah, you have to almost like I had one class do an exercise where I said, I had some props and I went back 50 years and described, so what did the supply chain look like? And then I said, okay, let's look at what's happening now. What's changed? And then I use an example of, you think it's in the news now. When you think about being first and the opportunity to continue to evolve, pros or cons, if and or buts, you can look at Sears as an institution that's having some challenges right now. But technically, I remember my grandfather being in Rome, Georgia, talking about, I got the Sears catalog. I can get anything anybody else can get.
Fast, in three weeks,
right? And so, you remember all of us had the little comic strip books where you could order something, it'd come in 5 weeks or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was supply chain. Right. That was the existing thing of what we have relative to the internet now, relative to that kind of delivery. And so the capability and demand was always there. It's just got faster and shorter. And so if you can begin to challenge them that way, where I said, okay, let's go forward 50 years. Mm. And then I, did things like, so how many of you have ever seen a drone? How many of you like a drone? How many of you are gamers? How many of you seen the drone Olympics? Right. So all of a sudden they're like, so I could be like a drone driver for, I was like, dude, yeah.
You're making it.
Like, okay.
You're making it very cool. Back to that Sears, and we won't dive into it now, but that's a very interesting situation with the current CEO and where they're getting the loans from to continue to float.
Yep.
Check out.
Trying to survive.
Anyone can Google that and see who's in line to get repaid first when they declare bankruptcy.
But very true.
Anyway, so... We don't have time to talk about the new initiatives, but you got new initiatives at Grady High School, Maynard Jackson High School, Newton College Career Academy, Goodwill, partnering with the HCCI, which is the High Demand Career Initiative, and a lot more. But what I want to conclude
We're also going to do one with Social Circle, too. That just came up yesterday.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Late breaking news right here on Supply Chain Now Radio. Awesome.
First to hear about it.
So what are the opportunities for individuals, or better yet, employers, to get involved and support LEAP program?
I would say the biggest opportunity is to think about, as an employer, what are the needs that you have relative to supply chain type opportunities, and then contact us, and I can give the information and let us know if there are ways in which we can build a bridge between those who have become trained and educated in those fields, and then pursue opportunities for what the organization may have. So one way to think about it is, do you have, you have partners who have suggestions, can help make connections. You're a great example with APEX and things such as that, with the help you've given out in Newton County. And then also employer councils, where they have openings, they have an interest, and they're looking at giving people an opportunity to work in those particular fields. And so then as someone completes a course, there's a nice line that's built up, or a pool of candidates that can then be interviewed for these potential opportunities. So hearing from the community that's looking for placing people in these opportunities, I can't reinforce enough, the person is going to like the career because they have gone through the training. If they didn't finish the training, typically they didn't like it.
Yep.
So they'll like that. The second thing is they'll have a better mindset and understanding of what it takes, because you'll notice that in the interview process, and it should not take you as long for them to be trained. And then, of course, typically because of that, they'll get advanced much quicker.
And we all know companies are struggling to find workers that want to be there.
That's right.
That have some of the basic skill sets that the LEAP program provides. And ultimately, we need to help friends of the LEAP program and friends of the Institute. We want to help these LEAP graduates get jobs.
That's right? The bottom line. And one of the things I would say quickly is, when we understand that there's going to be a significant number of veterans coming back over the next several years. And what we found that the LEAP program helps with veterans is, where with the opportunity youth and with others looking for a career change, they can get an understanding of where the opportunities are, how the supply chain works, and develop a vocabulary and then a systemic way of looking at things. For the veteran, oftentimes, they have the core experience. When we look at examples around disaster, typically National Guard's brought in. There's an aspect that's brought in. Yet what happens is the language and the sense of urgency is different. And one, it deals with, whether or not something gets blown up. And another one, it deals with trying to make sure that you have supplies there. Also, military time compared to regular time. The unit of measure is typically different. You're not going to take a truck of MREs and only leave 10 of them there. That unit is that truck.
Yep.
But you may take the same truck with 500 MREs and take 100 to Macon, 100 to Savannah, 100 to Jacksonville. So what we found is it gives that veteran a way to really understand and then articulate how they really understand this in a way that in the commercial sector, it makes an impact.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So great to have you back.
Good to be here.
Great to hear all the great news around the LEAP program expansion, because it can really make an impact. If you want to learn more, our audience can go to SCL for supplychainlogistics.gatech for georgiatech.edu. We also have Supply Chain Day coming up on November 7th.
Yes.
And I think there's only a couple spots left in that very popular event. Any name brand companies come to mind that would be on site for...
We expect UPS to be there. Okay. We expect Walmart will be returning. We've got some pretty significant Rubbermaid. We've got some pretty significant companies coming. We had one in September, maxed out at 20, had about 7 more waiting, so we rolled them over. So I think, you get those things going, it'll make a pretty significant difference.
Absolutely. November 7th. And also, APEX Atlanta is real proud of our relationship we've established with the Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute. We've got our next round of boot camps for anyone that's interested in earning your CSCP or your CLTD credential. That next round of boot camp is coming up the week of December 10th, actually the same week. And some folks might fly in, knock out all five, sit for the exam, walk away with two credentials. It's pretty cool.
The other thing I would just throw in is when you take these courses, they're good prep courses for those particular certifications.
Yep.
And so great point. People can actually kind of learn from that. It's a good way to kind of get up to speed, refresh yourself.
Great point. So, again, a big thanks to Chuck Easley with the Georgia Tech Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. Great to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. I have one thing that we've added is the link to if you add / LEAP, so SCL .gotech.edu /LEAP. And they'll take you straight to us.
Okay, constantly innovating. What's next at Georgia Tech, right?
Craig, the next. Oh, you get a point on that, man.
The man
is aware. I love it. Craig, the next. That's right.
Oh, man. All right, good to have you back. So we're going to wrap up on a couple final items. First off, check out our new Supply Chain Now Radio website at, guess what, supplychainnowradio.com.
It's a beauty, man.
It first generation. Really proud. It took us a while to get there. For some reason, they wanted content. Content, stop. You got to stop what you're doing and kind of create it. But it's going to be a great central repository for stuff we're doing. Next up on Supply Chain Radio, we're going to be featuring Roger Duncan with Risk Connect, the supply chain leadership team, members of that from Kimberly-Clark, and Chris Barber with Gray Orange Americas, which is really doing some neat things with bots and supply chain. Upcoming events, no shortage of webinars. That's going to become my middle name at some point, I believe. Details are out. We've got 50 folks coming out next week for our APICS Regional Supply Chain Leadership Forum. You can find out more information about that at apicsatlanta.org. As we mentioned earlier, Supply Chain 101 is back in Newton County in late October, early November. Will, Ben, Orf, Kathy, and Chuck, what's on y'all's radar?
I think that's we're getting down towards the end of the year. It feels weird that here we are, almost the end of 2018 here. But, yeah, so coming up pretty soon here, FabTech. Is going to be, it's the largest metal fabrication associated show in North America. We'll be here November, I believe the 6th through the 8th. So I'll be speaking there on a manufacturing panel. So it should be an exciting event. I've actually never been to FabTech before. So they're expecting about 35,000 folks from the manufacturing industry at that show, though. So definitely put that one on your radar.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know, Venture Atlanta, we've talked about it a couple times, but it's next week. And we've got a number of different companies, both from the startup side and the more established side, Curo being one of them. BAM is another one, BAM Worldwide. Several others. I think it's 67.
Is Fredo's involved in that?
Fredo's. Fredo's?
That's one of our favorite companies we like chatting about.
We do. You just like to hear me say it.
I do. You're right.
But let's see. Our friends at Technology Association of Georgia, they've got their big Excalibur Awards. That is coming up also next week, Thursday, I think. Yeah. So that's coming up. There's the Cybersecurity Atlanta down at the World Congress Center. That's something we should all pay attention to always with our cybersecurity. A bunch of good Atlanta companies will be in on that, like Restore Point being one that's up here in Alpharetta. They'll be there presenting.
I would say also Venture Atlanta is actually next week.
Oh, yeah.
So that's very exciting for some of our startup community here. Of course, logistics and supply chain, one of our biggest startup sectors here in Atlanta. So a lot of those companies, including Audit, who was one of our previous guests on the show, they will definitely.
Paul Noble.
Yeah, Paul Noble, our good friend there, will be presenting at Venture Atlanta, amongst others. I think Sudu and Stored, I would look for them as well. I can't remember if they're going to be presenting there or not, but I know they will definitely be in attendance. Right. So very exciting week for Atlanta next week.
Terrific. Kathy, Chuck, anything else to add? Upcoming events on your radar?
There'll be a few things coming up over the next 4 weeks. We're launching a pilot with Goodwill. I'll be out at Newton College Career Academy talking to their STEM classes. And we've added Crystal Ray High School as a partner. So that, along with Grady High School, Maynard Jackson, and Social Circle, will be pushing envelope these next 4 to 6 weeks.
You won't be getting any sleep over the next 4 to 6 weeks, maybe. Actually, you and Kathy may not get any sleep for the next place.
Very true. Yeah. Typically, 15 minutes a day covers it.
Yeah. And just plug in. Kathy?
Just a reminder, there's still 7 weeks of hurricane season left.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not out of the thick of it, but we're grateful for all the businesses who've already stepped up and those who we know will. So.
and the need will continue. So, again, check out alanaid.org, A-L-A-N-A-I-D.org, and great to have Kathy representing that there. But great point. It's not over,
And every day is earthquake season, and there are risks around the country affecting our supply chains daily.
Wow. Yeah. Well, big thanks to Will and Ben and Kathy and Chuck for being here. Big thanks to our sponsors, Apex Atlanta. Let's not forget about TalentStream, a WeBank certified recruiting and staffing firm that specializes in helping organizations find top talent in the engineering, manufacturing, and supply chain space. For more information about Apex, go to apexatlanta.org. More information about TalentStream, check out talentstreamstaffing.com. Of course, you can always, if you have any questions on anything you heard here today, shoot us an email at info@apexatlanta.org. And that is a wrap. Hope everyone has a safe, good weekend. And big thanks to our guests, and we'll see you all next week.
Great.
Thank you.